going to talk about the 5 top questions people ask about sound and healing and intention and energies and all that sort of fun stuff. So, Walter, we were talking about...
We were talking about what the environment in the room, the stillness, and the created through chant.
And how it is with sound that things magnify and intensify, and that's why you start feeling stuff that you otherwise don't notice. And sometimes when we listen to music, we feel antsy. Oh, I don't want to listen to that. Oh, that doesn't go fast enough. Oh, that's not loud enough. And usually it's because there's something inside of us that we're not ready to deal with, or we don't want to deal with, or our personality doesn't want us to deal with. So sometimes in those moments, that's exactly when we need to just settle and be still. When sound happens in a room, it magnifies us, it magnifies the room. When it moves through the space, that which is not in tune with us becomes more obvious in the space, in our bodies. Another person had just said that he feels a lot freer, and I was commenting the space behind his head, neck, and shoulders looks much clearer. It's almost like that sort of clarity that absolutely perfectly clear ice has, or a crystal, a perfect quartz crystal, you know? Where you know you're looking through something, and if anything, it looks better on the other side, like the focus improves. That's what it looks like right now. And when we're singing, we are intensifying everything, including the connection to our guides and angels. Most of us connect to guides and angels behind us. You know how many pictures you've seen of saints and stuff with some winged creature behind them or someplace around there and their aura on the top of their head? So typically, most of us see guides and angels standing behind people connecting, which is why it's so important to clear out that space behind your heart chakra. It's about 8 inches behind your body, because that's where your higher self, your guardian angel, the one guiding angel that's going to support you in any moment will sit, including those guides and angels that are helping with your physical body and those that are making the transition into using energy, prana, instead of food. It tends to sit behind the heart, then also behind each of the major chakras and minor chakras behind us. We actually have a pranic tube in our body, plumb line, as well as another one directly behind us, 8 inches. It goes all the way up and all the way down, so it's 8 inches behind us. We have another pranic tube to this side behind us and this side behind us, usually in front, one here, one in front. Each of these we use in a different way. In Asian cultures, this tube is used really strongly to present the appropriate face to the public. It literally will turn on almost more strongly than the body pranic tube turns on. This allows someone to be perceived in the way they want to be perceived. I've seen actresses use it. I haven't recognized people because most actresses and actors learn to turn it on for their official publicity photos. Nowadays with social media, it's a little different. You can catch them without this being active. And you ever notice how sometimes you just don't recognize them? And it's not a matter of hair or makeup. This wasn't turned on. So their public persona wasn't psychically available for you. You were catching their inside persona. We do this often when we feel like we need to look a certain way in public. It's a useful tool. It's really nice to recognize so that consciously you can undo that and say, okay, I don't need to be that way. I think a lot of women undo it when they come home at night, they take their bra off and they take their makeup off. And so they're done, right? Guys, what do? You take your shoes off, you take off the jeans, and you put on the jeans, whatever you're... And it's like you get home, you put the car keys down, you're done. So that's in the West how we unwind that. Now this tube behind us is really interesting. I learned to channel before I knew what channeling was. I just got information. I was one of those people who just like knew stuff. And then when I sang, I could feel things happen. And the problem was I could never go to sleep at night because I'd do an 8 o'clock concert, be running full blast until 10, have to break everything down, drive back home, get home at midnight or 1. I'd lie awake in bed and all I could do was think about the concert and all the energy and all the people, and it would just flow and flow and flow and flow and flow. So a friend of mine kept saying, you have to meet this channeler. And I said, oh, come on, channeling, blah, 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 right? So John Friedlander, shout out to John, for helping me understand that I always was channeling, that I had an antenna that just kept going. If there wasn't something here, there was something over there to channel. And I learned discernment. I learned that just because I could hear it didn't mean I had to listen to it. I needed to ask, are you really in tune with my soul? Are you really in tune with my body? Do you really feel good to me? You've got to pass those three tests before I even start considering. And over time, I realized I could ask a guide or angel that was rather insistent, can you speak to me at a level that is closer to unconditional love? Any true guide or angel may come in at a lower level to match our desperation while we're driving someplace and we can't find it. But any angel that's really, truly meant for us can always shift up closer to unconditional love. Feels lighter, feels easier, no pressure on the head, no pressure behind the heart. It'll just make our body feel comfortable. There's never a sense of having to do something with a true, unconditionally loving guide or angel. There's always a sense of support, and the most important, there's an honoring of our unique will. We as humans worked a whole lot to get into this body. We have absolute permission to make the wrong decisions. Our guides and angels know that. The guides and angels that support us want us to learn, and they recognize that sometimes as humans, we learn by going the wrong direction on a road. And it takes us a while to see we're going the wrong direction, and then we have to turn around. But it's our choice to go the wrong direction, potentially. So guides and angels that are sent by other people oftentimes vibrate at that other person's level of intensity and intention. Do this. Those are going to lie a lot of times in the low back and kidney region. So when you feel intensity there, you might just, does this belong to somebody else? Is this really in tune with me? Let it go to the guardian angel of the person that you think it might belong to, or simply intend even better. It can go back to wherever it came from. It can go to the guardian angel of whomever it might have come from. If you're not sure, just do it that way. Guides and angels that are perfectly in tune with you are perfectly in tune. You will never get any sense of pushing or pressure. You might get that sense of more energy flow. You might get that sense of just feeling more expansion, because that's what they'll do. They'll increase the flow of energy. They'll increase that sense of expansion. They will increase your ability to sense what's around you, what's under you, what's up above you. In a lot of cultures, especially indigenous cultures that you sound, the invocation of sacred space starts with the land. Then the four directions, then heaven. It's only our crazy culture in the West that goes, heaven, and stops there. And yet somehow heaven is supposed to constantly drip down. And then we feel ungrounded because we don't have the other half. And so then we stake our energy psychically wherever we're staying. We're taught to ground. I was taught to ground by going whoosh somehow. Personal energy in the earth. But then if I got up from the chair and moved, I had to whoosh again. So I kept thinking there's got to be a better way to do this. Hence studying with shamans and recognizing that if I open my grounding first, what's in heaven, I have greater access to, because I'm not going to lose my body. There's no fear on energy parts of me or my soul legally incarnating that I won't be able to contain the body. Because if I'm grounding and circulating with the earth, I've got more ability to open to heaven. There's more knowing that I'm not going to wind out. It's like, I'm here, my Dachien is here, I'm good. Other energies can be present. And the final piece of this is, when I invoked Archangel Michael, separately from what you guys saw, I invoked Archangel Michael within the earth. We started at third dimension and walked down inside of the earth to first dimension. Because when our awareness touches into any guide or angel, any spiritual connection we have at all within the earth version of it, then it opens more fully in heaven. As above, so below. Let's say, as below, so above. Every consciousness that exists, exists within all the different dimensions of our reality. Because we think very linearly in the West, it's easier to think of going down as a lower dimension. Whereas a lower dimension is actually just an intensification of this dimension, a thickening, a heaviness. And oftentimes, quick side note, when Michael is present in the way that Michael is right now with the Merkaba Pranic 2 present, energies that have been lost or trapped within the land that have been waiting to be released will begin to release. The land holds emotions that humanity is unable to process. It just holds it as raw energies. So when there's a Merkaba, Michael, a Pranic 2 with the Merkaba and Michael, the land will often ask for permission to begin to release energies it's been holding. So that thickness, that heaviness, can oftentimes indicate emotions, the basic energies of emotional processes that humans were unable to complete for some reason, that the land absorbed and held. This can go back to something like the space we're in. It's a meditation center. It's been through a lot of different kinds of experiences and activities. It can go to the land back when it was native territory. It can go back to Europe, to wars that have been fought in land. It can go to a home where there's been a lot of abuse or neglect. It can go to any place where there's been so much emotional turmoil that the humans were overwhelmed and the land received it on behalf of humanity. And it was just waiting for another human to come along to make that connection between the lower dimensions, the coarser dimensions, and heaven in a way that was neutral, that didn't say, oh, bad energy within the land. It just said, oh, you've been holding this on behalf of humanity. You've digested it as far as you could. It's heavy, it's thick, and it has permission to go to wherever the consciousness within it knows that it needs to go to. I believe it recycles itself. But I don't need to understand any more here in this little human body. All I need to do is recognize that as a human, I stand between the second dimension and the fourth dimension. Some people would argue the numbers. I don't care. I stand in this place between something that's thicker and coarser and something that's finer and lighter. And as long as I'm alive, I have the ability here to act as a conduit. So for me, when I say channel, I mean we are all channels at all times. So if we're channeling our personality and having fun, fine. If we're channeling a sense of being more spiritual, our higher self, wonderful. The trick is we have a range of qualities, of course, to finer energies that our body is attuned to and nourished by. So as we channel some version of ourselves most of the time. In moments like this where I'm teaching, I ask for support. I ask Archangel Michael and musical support from the Hathor guide that I know is Atamira to step in. That just heightens my ability that is already innate within me to share information with you. When you see me pause for a minute, what I'm doing is recognizing I've said all that I can translate into words from the energy impulses. I breathe up through my feet for a moment. Let the energy arrive in my brain. And it turns into a word, a phrase, an idea. Sometimes I hear it internally. Sometimes I don't hear it till I start to talk. In situations where I'm not comfortable with the people, maybe I don't know them, maybe half of the group is going, whoa, sound shaman. You know how that is? There isn't that level of ease and comfort. So I'll go a little slower, making sure that I'm getting the right words so I don't trigger people. So I don't accidentally say something that half the room is going to feel is wrong to say. Talking about language, how important language is sometimes. But I also know that as I speak, even giving a little bit of space between what I'm saying, the pictures that are coming in my mind's eye are somehow resonating to you. Again, I'm not speaking super loud. I'm not trying to push anything. Your energy is meeting me halfway. We're doing this lovely infinity loop. But I know that my ability to hold information so that you can come and get it heightens when I'm going a little on the slow side, like now. Because words won't quite explain what I want to explain to you. So I want your body and your experience of whatever this is from other teachers to kick in. I want you to have a minute to go through different teachers, different books you've read, different experiences you've had, and go compare, contrast, compare. You know, like our brain does? That's why we've got it. So I'm offering some psychic info laid into my speaking. And in the silence, I can feel you guys sort of pick it up. You guys are processing. And then what comes back to me is a quality of energy that myself and the guides interpret and say, oh, this is the next piece they need to hear. Oh, they didn't quite get that. Repeat that again. Try a different phrase. So for me, channeling is what we do all the time. The question is what we're channeling. And ideally, we're not channeling the anger of the person driving the car next to us, for example. Ideally, we're just ourselves. And then when we need or want more help, we allow a vibration that is finer than what our bodies can really stand to tolerate all the time to come and support us. I call that the higher self. Some people call it the guardian angel. I like higher self best. It sits behind us and it just sort of like moves forward in that tube from the space behind us into our heart or closer in, or maybe just magnifies itself in that space behind us. I love that we all have different wirings, different ways of functioning. So whatever along that line seems right to you, just take it. Yeah, Walter.
I like how you explain how channeling is kind of amplifying a part of yourself. Because, I mean, I notice it seems really similar to when you let yourself get taken into a certain action that you're doing, right? Like, I used to do wrestling in high school.
Okay.
And it's the times when I wasn't thinking at all that I reacted the quickest to what was coming towards me.
Right.
Where I'm sitting there in front of someone. I'm not thinking about what move I'm going to do next. I'm not even thinking about what they're going to do next. I'm just wrestling. And then I see what they're going to do before they even do it. It's that same concept, isn't it?
Exactly. Because your mind is out of the way. And that sense of having to figure it out isn't happening. And so the information that you're getting telepathically at the low chakras from their opponent, who's thinking, I'm going to do this, or their body is thinking, I'm going to do this, resonates in those lower three chakras. And that telepathic information here that we get from other people in the world goes through the heart, may pick up an emotion and so get discolored as it moves through the heart, or may not. When you're in the moment like that wrestling, you're neither here nor there, you're simply focused. So it seems like it just came straight up, clear through the heart, didn't pick anything up, hit your brain, and it didn't form a thought, it formed a physical response.
An action.
Yeah, it went right into that. So we have something called muscle memory in music land. Musicians oftentimes will just blank out in the middle of playing or singing something, and there's no sheet music, you're in the middle of a performance, and they just keep going because their muscles remember it. It's the same thing. They didn't need that there. It's present in them. And that is part of letting the brain get out of the way, letting the chattery thoughts get out of the way. How are people feeling now? what's going on is I've talked about the channeling and stuff. I'm wondering, when I first said the word channel, I saw a whole bunch of little fireworks go off in the room, just from different people. I did that on purpose because I wanted to see how many people would go, oh, to that word. And now when I say it, people are like, oh, well, that's rather boring. It's just me being you and connecting with a higher aspect of yourself. And for me, even Archangel Michael or the other guides I connect with, they're not foreign to me. I believe we all have energetic parents. I guess there's different systems to define how we connect, but I believe we're all connected to the archangels, some more strongly than others, depending on our lifetime, our incarnation, where we are. But we all have an innate connection to Archangel Michael. It's one of the foundational energies of our reality. We all have innate connections to other guides, other angels. They're really just
angels. Are there?
Depends on your system. Pick a system, any system at all. How's that? Yeah, that's the way the world works. You can break energies down into smaller and smaller pieces, right? So however many your system says, that's how many there are. I don't care. We can just do it however. I love Michael because his energy tends to sort things out, help with discernment, what is mine, what is not mine. And
this
I think that's
a huge
piece.
This is spiritual work.
Yeah.
This is spiritual work.
Yeah. It's very hard to transform the body without transforming the spirit and the consciousness. So this is just another way to approach the mountain. Let's say our body and our health is a mountain, or our life incarnation is the mountain. So it's another side of it, that's all.
I've got some tightness in my body, we've talked about it. So, you know, I've always kind of addressed it as being something physical.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, there's an emotional aspect to it. There's a spiritual aspect to it.
Absolutely.
There's a mental aspect to it.
Yeah.
So there's some thoughts that are associated with it. There's some emotions that are associated
Absolutely.
With it. There's a spirit that's associated with it.
I feel, and this is a real quick synopsis, just so if you think of the aura, you've got more of a spiritual, finer aura. And then it comes down and down and down, and then you've got the mental and emotional pieces of the aura, the etheric, right next to your skin. And so when things happen, oftentimes we draw them in, and each pattern, the pattern moves through each level and distorts each level, and then finally we do something crazy on the physical level and break something, bruise something, hurt something. Or it just sits there long enough that it starts to ache, right? So some people say it can come through the physical, manifest and move out. I usually see it come through the spiritual, that our soul says, we got three things we want to work on in this lifetime. Humility, compassion, and patience. Just to pick three easy, big things to work on, right? So humility. Damn, I just screwed that up again, even though I'm the CEO of a famous corporation, and now I am being humiliated in public. So now that I am being humiliated in public, I have to learn about true humility. What is that like? See what I mean? As a result of that, I have to have compassion for those that are now attacking me and recognize that they're doing so out of their own fear that they could be in my position because they've been doing the same exact thing. I'm not channeling politics or anything here. And then that sense, what was the third thing I said? Oh my God, I just lost.
Patience.
For the cycle to work itself out. Realizing that as we learn, we become different. We incorporate new energies into our body system, into our emotions, we make different choices. We simply were, it's that born again thing that people talk about. But without the Christianity, it's simply rebirthing yourself and using the energies of breatharianism, using the chi, is part of rebirthing, rebuilding the body that then allows for the mental, emotional, spiritual aspects to more easily unwind because they go, wow, this doesn't fit this body anymore, does it? This body's making different choices. But it comes through all the way. So different thoughts, emotions, choices, body choices. And I saw a question over here, I think. A couple times you looked like you were. No? Okay. Other questions or comments? It's so quiet.
Okay. Then all the questions that come after we settle.
I know.
Hey, I've got something to tell you.
So, Ellie, Tom, I wanted to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got one?
You've got one.
Oh, great.
You have an amazingly beautiful voice, and you keep me to heaven with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Okay.
I have another question.
Comment.
Yes.
It seems like, so when you channel the archangels and the gods and such, they are a collection of like ideas that help you focus in, like concepts. And so, like, because you, I mean, you spend so much time meditating on those concepts and ideas, they build for you,
yes,
like unconsciously and consciously.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it helps you focus into certain things.
Every energy, over time, I've learned to discern a lot of energies. I still meet energies, and I think, I'm not sure what that is. It's close to this, but it's not quite that. So it's like an artist who knows the difference between one kind of shade of blue and another kind of shade of blue without them side by side, that eventually you sort of get just by doing it. But the archangels and angels for me are not, they're not a marching militia. They don't like define themselves really tightly. They don't line up. I know some systems have them line up, so I'm just saying in my experience, I remember I was out swimming one day, and I was swimming in an open water, a big lake, and just looking at the clouds, and I was just, spent about an hour and a half just sort of wandering around the lake. You know, we've got great big lakes around Michigan, you can wander around, and beaches everywhere. And I was looking at the clouds, and just sort of thinking about that question, what is an archangel, what's different between an angel and an archangel, and the different, and it just, I was looking at the clouds, and sort of, I was asking them to explain it to me so I could share it with other people, because I was getting systems. People kept telling me systems. And they said, look at the clouds. And I saw this cloud, it looked like a duck. You know, clouds. And then it sort of pulled apart, and then it looked like the Starship Enterprise. I'm a Star Trek person. And I knew, my God, they are absolutely talking to me. This is my symbol. Yeah, when I see something from Star Trek, I'm like, pay attention. And I'm looking at it. And then they sort of morph it into something else, oh, I don't know, a dinosaur or something. And they're like, that's what we are. We collect our consciousness and then just pull apart and reform and collect differently depending on the need. So when I called in Archangel Michael, I said, the aspect or portion of Archangel Michael that sits with each one of us today, so that part of Archangel Michael that each of us connects to, so that we would invoke Archangel Michael into the room, those collective energies that fit each of us, rather than generic, just making it more personal to today and to now, which is why it's not on the video, because people watching and listening will have their own connection to Archangel Michael.
I feel like when you're talking, I should see that as frequency, you know, like there is exact frequency, and then the further you go from the frequency, it's going to be like kind of like understanding of Archangel Michael, like really specific energy,
mm-hmm,
or slightly similar to him, but
mm-hmm,
more large. And then when it's starting to be really far, you can choose another point, and that point is like vibrating.
That's another
really,
way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like differently, so you can discern,
yeah,
that kind of like vibration.
Exactly. It's a continuum of spiritual energies, yes. And when you move too far off of one, then you go, oh wait, I'm at Gabriel now, or Uriel, or I don't know what this one is. But again, as long as you can discern, does it feel good to you? If it doesn't, ask it, can it speak from closer to unconditional love? And if not, thank you. Not interested right now. Just sit and wait for another energy to come. Understand maybe that came because you were fearful or in a hurry, something like that. But everyone can do this, and because sound magnifies our connection to spirit, when we're singing, we're very apt to move into a state of trance. Now, by trance, I don't mean complete trance and levitation. I mean that sort of trance people get into with the TV clicker at night. That's trance. I didn't say it was a high quality, right? I just said you are giving your power to something else through routine or monotony or some sort of repetitive motion. you're giving your attention and focus to something outside of yourself, therefore you're giving your power to that. So by trance, I mean that when you're singing, sometimes the energies move in such a way that your crown and other chakras become very open, so you may feel energies moving through you or wanting to move through you, and you just do that same question. Is it really in tune with me? Does it serve me, my soul, right now, today, legally incarnating? Will it really be able to speak or sing through me at unconditional love? Because there's definitely stuff in the world, particularly in cities and places, that's very pushy and very shovey. Thought forms are, I call them low-level guides and energies, that are more than happy to push through people, make things uncomfortable, you know. I don't know about you, you're probably perfect, but I get impatient on occasion. So if I'm standing in a line and someone is chit-chatting with the cashier and there's five of us and I gotta be someplace, I tend to get a little antsy. And I realize at that time, sometimes I'll think, I wonder if I can do something, I wonder if I hurry this one around. But of course the guide I'm gonna call to myself is gonna be one of those kidney-pushing guides that will be uncomfortable to the cashier, uncomfortable to the person talking to the cashier, and I'm like, no, I can't do that. So I usually get halfway through doing it before I catch that I've done it, and then I have to unwind it and say, this is a patient moment. Let me take my cell out and say, I'm gonna be late. Let me just reconfigure, it's okay. They're having a conversation. This may be a life-shattering moment. I don't know what they're talking about, you know? So just going that way, keeping the patience, recognizing when you're accidentally calling something or asking for help that's not really useful. So as we're singing, we're going to do singing that's soft but also quite vigorous, I think. So just notice, if you start getting a sensation of really wanting to blast that sound, ask that urge to blast the sound if it's really yours. Is it really yours, or is it something else that your ego's going, yeah, this would be fun? So just tune in. Remember what I said earlier about how our bodies like to be completely surrounded by our auras? So when we're singing or speaking, sometimes the aura will move forward. So we want to keep that aura around the body. So if in doubt, breathe from the space behind you. That invites your attention to the space behind you. That will pull the aura back around your body. That means anything that's in there, any guides or angels that aren't in tune with you, you're going to start going, ow, because they'll suddenly be out of tune because your aura is there again. Your energy is there again. Great. Yes?
Just a couple of things. So one thing that's a situation about the cashier, it's not like always I'm able to do that, but when I'm kind of like in the better state, instead of like projections, it's kind of like, can you be over faster? Mm-hmm. You just find the place of love inside of you,
yeah.
And you just kind of like feel like you feel in this that space with love, and it feels like it will resolve, but you know, like love will never force anything to another person, so kind of like it's helping you to get through, and you're also getting yourself out of that uncomfortable situation, because kind of like even if the situation didn't change, you're now kind of like different,
right.
You experience it differently.
Yeah.
And on regard to when you were calling for Michael and saying like let go of all the previous guys and just invite one guy,
mm-hmm.
which I was amazed that I first experienced this new kind of guide. That's kind of like, I feel always my guides is kind of like a little bit like
mm-hmm.
masculine,
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like so gentle and feminine. And it's kind of like, was really similar to Michael energy, but it was very feminine, almost like feminine side of Michael energy.
Michaela, right? The feminine version of Michael. I keep saying Michael is a male, but Archangel Michaels are both male and female. All archangels are both male and female. So Michael, Michael, Michaela. Yeah, perfect. Wonderful.
Yes.
I love that. So you made the transition from a guide that was pushy, typically, to just this feminine. And that fits with you and your energy and your body so nicely. Yeah. So Ellie, Tom, a final question. How are you feeling the space around you now after that? We've been talking a bit, so maybe it's changed again. But how are you feeling this space around?
Oh, man. Well, on my thinking again, there was a time I probably would have felt a bigger shift and stuff like that, but since I dropped that mold, every moment that I'm living now is perfect. So there's nothing to compare it with. Even when I'm talking to people, like when I was in India, some woman said, "Can you read auras?" And I said, "Well, I can. Oh, tell me what's wrong, where the blockage is." And I said, "I don't think like that no more." So I didn't put the effort. So it's the same with the energy of the room. I just let the body go on this autopilot, and it's constantly just going with the flow. So I don't really have that to compare it with.
I ask because the space behind you looks different to me now. And it looks like there's more clarity from the neck and shoulder area, but not behind the head so much. So I was just wondering if you were noticing any shifts in there.
The only shift I got is in my thought process on enjoying what's happening or what's taking place. That's the only shift. So that change of aura, of course, with every thought, it does change.
Yeah.
So you're accepting the moment, accepting the reality of what's going on. Because one moment you're just saying, "What's going on? This is new." Then you trust and let go. So of course, if you change the whole aura and so forth like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a big shift on, like how I used to analyze it, that don't come into play no more. And I program myself like that because, again, if you're living on Prana, there's places I go where people say, "Well, how about the air quality? How about this? How about..." I don't play that game. It doesn't matter. I want to be sustained. So therefore, I don't try to judge if this area, every area is perfect. There is no low area. So I kind of program myself to be like that, not to be that sensitive. Because a lot of people, they'll say, "Well, I'm so sensitive and this bothers me." It don't bother me.
So I'd love to do some chakra chant with everybody. And to do that, I'd like to reconfigure the room. And I think we're done with the video. So thank you, everybody.
All right. Awesome.
Is there any history that you have of